Well, good morning, folks. It's nice to be with you. I prefer to be sitting with you, in with you, but it's always a privilege and an honor to share the word. I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I'm always fascinated by these Old Testament saints. They would thrill your soul. And we're going to take a wee look at one this morning, just in the moments that are left as we meet around the word of the Lord today. It's always a challenge when I read about this man. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, and we're going to read from the verse 1. I'm not going anywhere to hear the stop of the flicker of the page, for I know you're searching for it. Always say that for a reason. I got saved 36 odd years ago. I went along to a church, but you never went to church really before that. I went along to a meeting there in Portadown. And the old pastor, he says, you need to get under the word, son, now that you're saved. And I got a Bible and opened it for the first time. Brand new Bible. Could hardly get the pages separated. You know one of them. And I went and sat down, and the minister gave out, or the pastor gave out, where the place was to be found. And he began to read. And by the time he had finished, I just found it. I always like to give people time, because it's more important that you see what's on the page. That's the important issue. It's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. And it's more important that you see what's on the page. This is a lovely, lovely passage of scripture. Let's read it together. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as Daniel was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and princes and counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for the public reading of your word. Thank you, Father, for the prime example we have here in the life of a great man down through history. And Lord, as we look at his life for a few moments, We pray that thou would speak to our hearts, even through thy word today. Close us in with yourself. Take away every distracting thought. And bless thy word to our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, you and I have read this first 11 verses of Daniel chapter 6, which is a wonderful reading in itself concerning that which was unfolding at this particular time. I suppose there are four things that we could look at this morning in the life of Daniel that are very, very important for us to learn. Number one is the dilemma that Daniel faced in his life in those earlier days. Number two, the decision that Daniel had to make as a man of 80 years of age and beyond that. And then there's the den that Daniel had to experience. And then finally, if we get there this morning, there's the deliverance that he came through. It's absolutely amazing. The dilemmas that Daniel had to face. You and I have been reading this morning from Daniel chapter 6. But for you and I really to get to the dilemmas that Daniel faced, we need to go back to chapter 1. For there you and I will discover this morning that Daniel as a young man in the land in which he lived, which was Jerusalem, was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, the one who sat upon the throne at that specific time. Nebuchadnezzar gave the command that they might go into that area, that they might besiege that city, that they might overthrow it. And then he was given specific instructions to those who were to go in, that if they seen anyone who was well learned, who knew science, who came from a great background, that they were not to be destroyed, but they were to be taken captive. That they were to be brought back to Babylon in order that he personally might doctrinate them and use them for his own ends. Among that group of people that were gathered up at that time was Daniel himself and his three companions who are later known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel at that specific time was only in his teens. He was only a young boy, only a young man. But can I say this morning, he was a young man who loved the Lord. Can I say this morning, he was a young man who walked with God. Can I say this morning that he was a young man determined to stand forth for God? Take a look at it. Just take a look back there at Daniel chapter 1 for a wee moment. Just do you see this here as we bring it out? You can see in the verses 1 to 3 exactly what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do. He went into Jerusalem. You can see in verse 3 what he already requested, what we've been mentioning this morning. It says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. That was the plan and the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar. Now watch this, verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah Shadrach, unto Mishael Meshach, unto Azariah Abednego. Their names were changed. He tried to change their names. He tried to change their hearts. He tried to change their whole outlook on life. But in the midst of the captivity, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What we see first of all in this young man's life as a teenage boy, that he was dedicated to the Lord. And not only was he dedicated to the Lord, but he was determined to walk with God. A young man. Young folk, give your life to the Lord. Daniel could sing that beautiful, the words of that beautiful hymn, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." He's only a teenager, but he's determined not to let the Lord down. Totally dedicated to God's will and seeks to walk with the Lord. Not only do we see him as a young teenager with a determination to walk with God, but you can certainly see at a young age that he was a young man who learned to talk with God. Take a look at chapter 2. You see, Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 had a dream. And that dream that he had, well, it really troubled him. The problem with this dream was that dream that he had dreamt, he couldn't remember exactly what he had dreamt. But he had a longing to find out what it meant. And he brought out his many out of his kingdom, whom he thought could interpret this dream. And when he lined them all up and asked them to tell him what the dream meant, they weren't able to do it. Take a look at verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter or the king's dream. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, no ruler that asks such things as at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh.'" And the problem was that these boys were being asked to do something by Nebuchadnezzar, which they could not do. Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was angry. And he commanded all the wise men of Babylon to be slain. Furious. He gave that command to a man called Arioch, who carried out that, or went to carry out that errand. And one of those wise men was Daniel. And we discover in verse 14 that he came to Daniel's presence. And as he came into Daniel's presence, going forth to slay these wise men. Listen to verse 14. "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." We can see here this man now, and he's been confronted with this man who's been sent out, Arioch. And Daniel now is requesting time. Time what to do? What is he requesting time for? Verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." I want to tell you something. In chapter 1, we see him that he's a young man who's determined to walk with God. In chapter 2, you can see as a young man, he has a life which he knows what it is to talk with God. He knows that this is impossible, humanly speaking, that this is impossible to accomplish. But I want to tell you something. He's also aware that with the Lord, there's nothing impossible. And he comes home. You'll notice where he goes to. He goes to his own house, for his own house is a significant place in the life of Daniel in these days. And his house is a place where he meets alone with God. And you can see him going home to the three companions. You can see him meeting them at the door. You can see him saying to these boys, "Listen, boys, we need to get on our knees." You can see the boys answering him back, "Why, Daniel, why do we need to get on our knees?" "Because if I don't get down before the Lord, we're going to be slain. And we need to seek the Lord concerning Nebuchadnezzar's dream." And as they got down on their knees and they sought the face of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, and Daniel blessed the Lord God of heaven." I want to tell you, God hears and answers prayer. He was a man who walked with God in his younger days. He was a man who talked with God, knew what it was to have fellowship with God. Yeah. When you get to chapter 5, you'll see that he was a fearless man. Because in chapter 5, you'll discover here that he's now under a new monarch. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar has gone. Belshazzar has now come to the kingdom. Belshazzar has done things that he shouldn't have been doing. And God's finger has written the wall. And Belshazzar's problem is he doesn't understand the writing on the wall. But you'll discover this, that not only did Daniel walk with the Lord, and not only did Daniel talk with the Lord, but Daniel had a good witness for the Lord. Belshazzar was troubled. Verse 9 of chapter 5, "Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished." Verse 10, "Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." Now listen, verse 11, there is a man. There's a man. "There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." I'm putting it to you, he's well known here in the kingdom. Here's a woman doesn't forget what she once knew way back then in Nebuchadnezzar's day. And she's now saying to Belshazzar, "There's a boy there, this boy called Daniel, and he'll be able to help you." And Daniel came before Belshazzar, and he explained to Belshazzar exactly what the writing on the wall meant, and it meant the destruction of his kingdom. And there he was, and he stood before the monarch of the land, and he fearlessly gave the Lord's message to the king at that specific time. And that night, dear friend, it came to take place. At that feast, the Bible says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And a boy called Darius came in, and he took over the kingdom of the land. And here we can see a new empire been set up. An empire now been led according to the law of the Medes and Persians. And this boy Darius, who came onto the scene and set up this kingdom, it tells us in verse 1 of chapter 6, where we want to be this morning, it said that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. And I want you to see this man setting up his government. I want you to recognize this man getting everything in its place. He knows he can't do it of himself. So he chooses out three presidents. And he picks out 120 princes. And he puts them in a government. And they are there in order that they might indeed help in the governing of the land at that particular time. Those 120 princes that he chose, and those three presidents, we can see this, over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, or whom Daniel was first. Listen, there seemed to be something in Daniel which was different above the rest. I want to say this, chapter 1, he's in his teens. Chapter 2, he's a wee bit older. Chapter 5, he's a lot older. Chapter 6, he's now between 85, 86 years of age. He's an old man. But I want to tell you something. He's an old man who's still working with the Lord. And this man recognizes this. He sees something in Daniel, because the Bible tells us here in verses 2 and 3, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Now listen, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. There seemed to be something Darius seen in this man that set him head and shoulders above the rest. And his desire was that he would put him, as it were, as prime minister, that he would make him the first one, that he would make him the supreme one, the one whom they would all be accountable to. And the reasoning behind it is because he recognized that there was an excellent spirit within him. He's different. He was different in chapter 1. He was different in chapter 2. He was different in chapter 5. And he's still different in chapter 6. And as this man looked upon his life, and as this man observed him and listened to him, he could see that he was different. And he also recognized that he loved the Lord. Isn't it wonderful how God has his servants in the right place at the right time? This, of course, caused a problem. And my time's gone. I'm not going to get anywhere near where I want to be this morning. This, of course, caused a problem. Another dilemma in the life of Daniel. Verse 4 says these words, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." I just want to stop there. You see, because of the favoritism towards Daniel that Darius was showing, it brought jealousy into the hearts of the rest of the presidents. And they began to detest this. And they began to hate him. To think that this captive of Judah would be over them, they couldn't take it. And therefore they began to think of how they could get rid of him, or how that they could overcome these plans of Darius. And what they began to do was they began to scrutinize his life. Now watch this here. This is absolutely amazing. Then the presidents and princes, 122 people, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. That's the first thing. His everyday affairs with mankind. His daily work. And they scrutinized him. And they watched him with the intentions of having this thought removed from Darius's mind altogether. They were longing to find fault in him in order that he would be removed and that they would have the supreme position. But as they watched him day by day, as they observed his walk, as they observed his talk, they could not find no fault in him. That challenges me, you know. Personally challenges me. Wonder if I was to say between now and next week, you all scrutinized my life, I would truly say that you would not be saying what is said about Daniel. They could not find no fault with him because he was faithful. Faithfulness is a wonderful thing. He was faithful, and neither was there any error or fault found in him. But listen to me, this I'll finish. What they did find was simply this. Not only did they find a faithful servant, but they found a man who prayed every day, who knew what it was to leave his place of employment, wherever that might be, in order that he might meet alone with God. Take a look at verse 6. We can see what they intend to do. Because it says, Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel. Watch it. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You just got to stop there now. Got to ask yourself the question. What is it that has been motivating this man to live the life that he's been living? The motivation has been coming through the Word of God. You see, he's not seeking to live to please man. He's just seeking to live a life that'll please the Lord. And that's why he loves him so much. That's why he has a desire to walk with him. That's why he has a desire to talk with him. And the amazing thing is this, that these 122 people can see this. They couldn't find fault or error, but they found a praying man. A man who took time to spend those hours alone with God in order that he might bring the matters and the needs, as our brother was saying this morning, to the Lord on a daily basis. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together and they said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now this was the activity of their attack. They seen a praying man, a man who was dedicated to the Lord. They seen a man on a daily basis, 3 times a day, going and seeking the face of the Lord on behalf of the things that were in need at that specific time. And as they watched him, they realized, listen, this is a means for us to get rid of him. Let us go to Darius. Let us explain to him what we intend to do. And that is exactly what they did. And they went to him and they put this decree to him that if anyone was found in his kingdom praying to any god or man for the next 30 days, 1 month, the month of September has 30 days, 1 month, let's just say that road. If he's found praying to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, he shall be immediately cast into the den of lions. Listen, it was going to affect Daniel, this decree, because this decree was named directly at him to remove him from the kingdom. Therefore, Daniel, who found himself in a dilemma, had a decision to make. Daniel, you're not allowed to pray for 30 days. You're not allowed to get down before the Lord. And if you're found praying, the consequences are it's the den of lions. And I personally, they were brought to the attention of Darius. A decree was brought to him. It was requested. Listen, they went in before Darius. They said in verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and princes and the captains and counselors, we've all consulted together. It's a lie. It's a lie from the wee word all. For Daniel wasn't in it. And as they went before Darius with this proposal, Darius thought it was good. It sounded good to his ego. He thought this was brilliant. And he took his pen and he signed it. And he signed it according to the law of the Medes and Persians. Why was that important? Because it couldn't be altered. Once he put pen to paper, that was it. And I can see him taking out his pen or his whatever it was in his day, and he began to put pen to paper, and he signed it, and he sealed it with his own signet. Listen, I want to tell you something. He signed Daniel's death warrant, humanly speaking. And those letters were taken out, signed and sealed by the king, and they were handed out in the community. And all of the nation received this decree that there was no one allowed to pray to any god or man for 30 days except to the king. And Daniel was left with a decision to make. What was Daniel going to do? How was he going to react? Well, let's take a look at it, and with this we'll finish. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel went into his house, the same house. And the windows were open towards Jerusalem. He didn't have to open them. And the Bible says, the windows being opened in his house towards Jerusalem. Listen, what did he do? He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed. Now listen to this. And give thanks, TSP. He's giving thanks knowing that his life's at stake. He's giving thanks knowing that I'm about to be cast into a den of lions. But he's willing to suffer for the Lord's sake. I want to tell you something. Prayer was very important to this man. His walk with God was so important. His talk with God is so important. And dear child of God, in this meeting this morning and over the airwaves, listen, so ought yours and mine. Daniel's decision was to carry on as usual. He went home to his house. Windows being open towards Jerusalem as usual. He got down on his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed. And he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Godly man. Godly. Godly man. What about us this morning? In the light of what we're reading, are we walking with the Lord? Are we talking with Him on a daily basis? Are we allowing Him to lead and to direct our paths? You see, a secret is in the Word of God. And His delight is in the God of the Word. May God Himself challenge our hearts. May God Himself examine our lives. As I stand and preach in this pulpit this morning, I have to ask myself, am I walking with God? I have to ask myself, am I talking with God? I have to ask myself, is my life, is it a witness for God? And you and I need to all ask ourselves that question. And to be able to come like the hymn writer of old and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto Thee. Let us pray. Father,